What's going on, my beautiful people? We are here. Another great day inside the Black Actors Studio. I'm your host, Danny Royce, and I'm really excited about my guest today. You've seen him most recently on All American. He's been on Best Man, The Wood, Malibu's Most Wanted, Rent, Empire. The list goes on and on. You really can't talk about black film without mentioning this guy's name. Don't move a muscle. Hey, what's good, everybody? Welcome inside the Black Actors Studio. Thank you so much for joining us. My guest today has dominated the film, the screen, and the stage. He is all around amazing talent, singer, dancer. What else do you do? You see, how Stella got her groove back. Yeah. I know, right? He writes children's books. Please welcome. The Black Actors Studio is very proud to have Tay Diggs.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Good to see you.
Good. Nice to see you. Thanks for
Likewise.
Coming.
Thank you for having me. It's really great to see you.
Of course.
Young brothers coming up and doing their thing.
You know, I try. I do what I can.
Good for you. We're doing it.
God willing.
Now's the time.
Now is the time. That's right. And we're so excited to have you here inside the studio. I've been a longtime fan.
Okay. I appreciate that.
The Wood, man. The Best Man. I mean, come on. There's so many great ones out there that we'll talk about later on. But okay. I want to start by saying congratulations on All-American 2, season
yes,
2.
Yes, yeah, we got that second season.
Coming out.
Very thankful for that.
You've mentioned that you had a lot to learn from the younger cast.
100%.
And can you just touch on that a little bit?
Oh, man, at my age, I'm getting older, and I'm starting to take notice of a lot of things that I hadn't. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just realizing just how wonderful just youth is, and how great it is to be around, you know, these young people that have just fresh ideas and energy.
Right,
you know,
right.
As I said, I've been in the business a minute, so
hot minute,
and it's great. It's great. But at the same time, as I'm really appreciating, because you know, as you get older, it's easy to fall into that trap of, you know, talking about how old you're getting and wishing that you were younger and kind of getting jaded.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I'm just appreciating people coming up to me and saying, like, keywords like classic. Like,
yeah.
I never would have thought that would have been something that I'd enjoy, that I'd embrace. But when I think about that, you know, it comes with age, but at the same time, when I hear the word classic, it means that I feel like it means that whatever they're referring to isn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I hate to say it, but that's a lot of why we do what we do, is to leave a mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this industry, it's easy to get caught up in awards and, you know, a certain type of attention that you think you're not getting.
Right.
But when I was reminded of that, it's really cool. So, you know, these young people saying that, and then these young people just bringing a newness to the energy on set, mm-hmm. is really, really great to be around. It constantly reminds me, you know, how grateful I should be to just be around.
Right, and they're teaching you social media and all that stuff, too. Like, yeah.
Barely,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, they try. I still don't get the stories. Because that's, are you pretty into that?
I'm pretty good with social media.
Is it true?
It comes with the age, you know, I guess.
Oh, God, man. Which matters most? What you put on the stories, or what you put on the regular feed?
On your actual feed?
Yeah, which one matters?
The feed is most important because it's going to stay around for a lot longer.
Oh, okay.
the story goes away like after 24 hours. So, yeah, if you don't really like what you put on your story,
it will disappear.
Yeah, it will disappear. Don't worry about it.
Okay. But it's integral, though, they say, right? I feel like I'm missing that part. I don't mess with the stories.
You can connect, like, all the social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, you connect it all together.
Oh,
it's crazy how it is. Yeah. It's a lot.
It really is. Lordy.
It's a full-time job in itself.
Well, I guess people are getting paid to do it.
They
now,
are.
So.
Hey. But in the studio, you know, I always like to start off in the beginning.
Yes.
Where were you born?
I was born in Newark, New Jersey.
Mm.
Yes. Okay. And then we moved, me and my mom moved out of Newark, New Jersey, pretty quickly,
right.
Up to Rochester. Grew up in Rochester.
Okay, okay.
And then went to college, Syracuse, and then moved straight to New York City.
Wow. So yeah. How was the dynamic growing up in the house? So was your father never around, really? Or?
I had a birth father that I didn't know, okay. And then a stepfather who raised me. Both, rest in peace, have passed on, but my stepfather, was a very dominant kind of force, very disciplinary. Mm. My mother provided the love and the support in the arts.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything, most of everything, most of all that I am is because of my mother. Just, her influence and her kind of pointing and guiding me in the right direction when it came to how I chose to express myself through the arts.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how important is it, because for your son, now to be that example for him?
Very. I'm not at where, obviously, because, my baby mama is Idina Menzel, who's, a genius in her own right, a force. When it comes to the arts, we don't really have to worry about that.
Yeah, right.
But
it's like, if he's not acting, singing, or dancing, or something.
yeah. It's just we want to just support him in whatever he wants to do. Right now, it's basketball, number
nice.
One. And then I'm very thankful. He's very, very much into reading and sleepaway camp. So, those three things, we're just right there trying to support as much as possible.
Nice. And he approved of you dating again, right? Because at first he didn't want
not yet.
Not
it's
yet.
Still,
it's
I mean,
still...
I'm slowly kind of trying to broach this subject. But, a few months ago, he was like, he just came straight out and said, I don't want you to have a girlfriend right now. And I was like, I get it. I feel
okay.
you. But I just planted a seed a couple weeks ago because he saw me. I'm sending a video to this young lady. And he asked me who it was. And I wasn't thinking. I real quick tried to hide it. And I was like, don't hide it. And I showed it to him. I said it was a friend. And he said, but why were you trying to hide it? I said, well, I didn't want you to think that it was my girlfriend or anything because I know,
Uh-huh.
I said, I promise you from here on out, anything that happens, I'm going to run it by you just so you're in the know. And he appreciated that. So,
oh, that's a great relationship.
Yeah,
to have,
well,
though.
We'll see.
I was gonna say. Easy. Until he gets to a teenager, he might not. He'd be like, Dad, okay, I had enough of you.
Right. But we'll see. It's nobody teaches you this stuff,
right?
You know, it's,
no one really does.
It's hit or miss. So
exactly,
we'll see.
And so, did you have any nicknames growing up?
No, I always wanted a nickname. Mm. Always want. So I gave myself one. Tay. Born Scott Leo Diggs, and it wasn't until college when I said I wanted something that was close to my actual name. My uncle used to call me Scotte.
Mm.
Scotte.
Scotte.
So that kind of I kind of took that and made it my name when I went to college. So I just started introducing myself as Tay, and it stuck. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think it's much cooler than Scott.
I would agree with you. I mean, honestly, I didn't know until probably about maybe 2 years ago that your name was actually Scott.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, the older I get, the more I like it, Scott. But not only my. Only my family called me by that name.
Mm.
Immediate family, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And so when did you get... I'm really intrigued to know, when you got the acting bug or the entertainment bug, just to perform.
Yeah. My mother saw it in me. I feel like I've been telling this story a lot lately. I started out very, skinny, insecure, for all intents and purposes, nerdy. I was athletic, so I would make the teams, but I would sit the bench because I was too small. So I always wanted, to be the popular guy. I wanted to date the cheerleader, to be friends with the quarterback. But up until 10th grade, which is where my mother kind of forced me to go to this arts high school, performing arts high school. that's when my life changed. She knew that I had a modicum of talent, and then once I got to School of the Arts in Rochester, I was just accepted. Everybody had open arms, and it was just because I was there. It wasn't, had nothing to do with how much money I made, who my friends were, you know, how good looking I was. Or if you had talent, then you were accepted, and that was really, really cool. And that school changed my life. I blossomed. Yeah, and nice. Then once I saw the attention that I got, I completely, you know, I went all in, and then I worked at my craft and tried to be as great as possible.
Right. So yeah. Did you? So you started in New York.
No, upstate New York.
Upstate New York, right.
Rochester.
Yep. And then when you moved to the city,
right.
How was that transformation for you?
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome because after I found out, you know, that I had some talent, then I rode that all the way. So when I got to New York, I couldn't wait to just prove to people how talented I was.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of folks were intimidated. You know, all throughout high school, New York, you know, was the place to be. We'd take trips to see shows. I think my stepdad's grandmother was there. So New York was always a place that that I knew I wanted to end up.
Mm-hmm.
So when I actually got there, it was awesome. You know,
nice.
Didn't have, you know, two pennies to rub together, but I had this amazing sense of confidence. I remember I got a job at Pizzeria Uno. Is that deep dish pizza? Pizzeria Uno?
Not New York, no.
No, okay.
It's like, nope.
But I was there. I got a job, and I remember I was a waiter, but a host.
Okay.
And there were two other hostesses at the desk, at that front little counter. And, you know, I got the job, and we introduced each other and ourselves. And then everybody asked what they did. And when I told people that I was a performer, an actor, you know, they kind
of
scoffed.
Of course.
Like, oh, like everybody else.
Yeah, it's like. Yeah.
Yeah, and I said, which is understandable. But I said, okay, I guarantee you in a year, I said, I'll either have my own TV show, I'll be in a movie, or on Broadway. And in 6 months, I was on Broadway. So
yes,
I don't know. I mean,
I
need to find that confidence today.
Right.
When I was younger, it was just there. So
right.
I hit the ground running, thankfully.
Good. Did you have any specific television shows or films that really inspired you growing up? That you're like, oh.
Yes, ironically, like Spike Lee. I didn't even think. I knew. I was like, when I was in college. I figured I'd graduate from college, get a Spike Lee movie, and then my career would start. And amazingly so, I have not been in a Spike Lee movie yet. So, come on, Mr. Lee.
Come on, Spike. Let's do this.
but he was a major, you know, just so necessary, so integral in just something as simple as, you know, seeing other people that look like me doing, you know, what I love to do.
So other than Spike Lee, is there anyone else that you haven't worked with that you would love to work with?
Oh, so many. I just want to, you know, play with these other, you know, brilliant forces, you know, Denzel, Will Smith.
I'd
love to do a comedy with
Will
Smith.
That would be amazing.
That would be real cool.
That would be pretty.
I mean, and any, you know, all of them, all the new and the old.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to be working alongside those that you know, in high esteem. So, I'm ready and waiting.
All right. Ready and waiting.
Yes.
You heard that, Spike Lee. Let's do it. I'm interested to know, like, what was one of your moments with another actor on stage that was, like, unplanned, that just kind of happened? And it, not necessarily a disaster, but it just kind of caught you off guard.
On stage or on screen?
On screen.
I remember in the Best Man, the first one, there was a scene between me and Neil Long.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what was going on. I think she was frustrated. I don't know what she was frustrated about, because maybe her lines, or I was giving her the wrong lines, or. But there was a scene when I had just gotten beat up, and I come to her, to that character, Jordan, I think the character's name was, and she's supposed to tell me off.
Oh, because I remember that.
Yeah. And she slaps me.
Uh-huh.
And she really hit me. And I remember being, so we hadn't discussed it.
Oh, really?
We had, and it was one, you know, it's one of the major, it's a great scene. In the movie. And my reaction is real. The director, Malcolm Lee, kept the reaction. At the time, I was pissed. I was really pissed, but it worked. It worked. That was, and that was something that I learned. You know, early on, that you know, even in TV and film,
mm-hmm.
you know, when there's a sense of improv, sometimes it can really illuminate a scene,
right?
And
right.
That definitely did. It was painful, but
yeah, but it was worth it.
Oh my lord, yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Boy,
and you worked with you know, Terrence Howard on Best
Man,
and then
he was always making up stuff,
right?
Yeah, he was always making stuff up.
And then come to loop back around, you met up with him again on Empire.
Yeah.
So how was your experience on Empire?
Awesome. Yeah. You know, I feel so just grateful to. It's one thing to even be working, but to be in a position where you can be working, everything's fine, see a show that you want to be on, and then be on that show.
Right, right.
It's great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, working with Taraji and Terrence was, it's just, it's really hard to explain, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, I do my thing.
Right.
But, you know, when you blend energies with other, you know, really, really amazing technicians.
Magical.
It's really cool. And there's that whole idea of, you know, looking around and loving the fact that we're all still here and doing well.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's a great thing, because we all came up together.
Right. And then so also, how did you feel about the whole Jussie Smollett thing and what recently came out about it? I know that you were really supportive of him, and you know, against the awareness of homophobia and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But with the recent findings,
what do you
think about that?
I mean, listen, I have no idea what people are going through,
right?
And to be honest, it's kind of none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? He is a good friend of mine. I love him. He's only done right by me. So, you know, people go through things.
Yeah.
It doesn't change who he was and who he is to me.
Right, right.
It doesn't change, you know, the attention that we still need to pay to, you know, homophobia.
Like, mm-hmm.
People trip out.
Yeah.
Just because whatever happened doesn't mean that the issues that he it stands for don't still exist and still need that attention. So,
right.
I will say, you know, this business is tough. And, you know, you live life under a microscope, and I do think people, you know, give too much attention to little shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm still dying to work
with
him again.
See,
Do
you think they made the right decision of leaving him off the next season? Or?
Is he off the next season? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. If he wants it. Yeah. You know, if you know, I'll work with him
in
a second.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what politics.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, right.
I still have an issue with people mixing, you know, actors and their personal lives with, you know, their work lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like, you know, if I'm being honest, the smart thing would be to bring them back and let it interweave it into the show.
Right.
I feel like people, I may get in trouble for saying this, but they're so quick to just to leave these people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So quick to fire them. So quick to kind of, you know, throw them away, as opposed to, you know, taking their time and, you know, maybe letting it work towards, you know, the
right.
program or the job or you know, you'd probably get the bottom of it if he stuck around.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But I feel like people don't stand behind and support their actors as much as they should.
Right.
You know, I think it's fear.
Fear, right, of what will happen. And I think that same microscopic approach should be done on our politicians.
Yeah.
That's what needs to be.
you know,
let's worry about that.
I guess. I don't know.
So I definitely want to get into the mind of Taye Diggs for a second, just see how you see how you approach a role and how you prepare for that role. Because I think it would definitely be something that our actor viewers would love to hear.
Oh, man. Well, it depends. It depends. I've never been, you know, the dude that, you know, would start 6 months ahead and, you know, what does this person have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and what kind of socks do they wear. I've always been, you know, I focus on the writing, the script, and doing whatever I need to do to make that character as real as possible. I think the relationship you have with your director is important. The relationship you have with your co-stars. You know, I want to be as real as possible. And if that means doing the research, you know, if it shows on the screen or on the stage, then definitely. If not, I focus on what the audience is going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to waste time on other stuff unless it makes me feel more comfortable. But it's, you know, it varies project to project.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm playing this coach, you know, on All American, mm-hmm. and I'm constantly learning. But at the same time, I want to make sure I bring, you know, a good amount of who I am as a person to that character as
right.
well.
Right.
And to not be afraid of that. You know, obviously, I've been watching a whole bunch of football movies and watching other actors that have played coaches and, you know, gleaning from them. At the same time, I like to make up a little stuff, you know, make up stuff as well as I'm going along, just to add put my own little stank on it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I'm constantly learning, constantly open, you know, to ideas and suggestions, while at the same time, you know, leaning on my own confidence.
Right, for sure. Is there anything we can expect for season 2 of All American?
Oh,
anything?
Man. Ooh, it's not. It's not. He's going to have a go of it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Coach is going to have a go of it because he's out of the house. I think he's going to try to get his family back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's definitely coming from underneath, you know, living with his pops.
Right, right.
So it's going to be a very humbling move forward.
Yeah.
So it's going to be some acting. So I'm ready for it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to see, like, especially where Spencer's going to go and mm-hmm. and all that. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's going to be very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The writers have told me some. They haven't told me everything, but we're all of us are just so happy to have a second season. And we're so happy.
That's awesome.
To see the success of the show on Netflix. They, mm-hmm. they really got it right.
Right.
And kind of locating, you know, the demographic and getting it out there, so we're excited.
So yeah, especially with Netflix and, you know, Hulu and mm-hmm. all the streaming, there's just so much opportunity.
Yes.
To have your project and anything seen.
100%.
What's one of your favorite, like, you know, shows? What's one something that you can't live without? You got to watch.
Oh, it's so funny. I mean, I don't know if this has anything to do with my age as well. There's a lot of new stuff, which is great.
Right.
But I've been binge watching The Office.
Oh, really?
She's Got a Habit is really cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I loved. I tore up. Turn Up Charlie. Turn Up.
Turn Up Charlie.
Turn Up.
I don't think I've heard that one.
That's Idris Elba's show. He's a DJ.
Really
great premise. DJ / nanny. So that was cool. I have to say, you know, these days it's almost overwhelming.
There's so much content.
Yeah,
right?
Much that every once in a while I just will turn on regular TV just because.
What's regular TV?
Yeah, exactly. It's easier to pick.
Do you think? What's
that?
If you would like one of your past films to be replicated.
Oh,
which one would that be, and who would you like to play you?
Oh my goodness, am I there already? Probably
not
the first
yourself.
One. Probably Hostella Gar.
Hostella Gar.
Yeah.
That was such an iconic
I would
film,
love
classic
to see,
film.
To see that.
Like, come on, you and Angela Bassett. Like,
that would be funny. I want to redo it. not redo it, but do a kind of where are they now type of thing.
Yeah.
yeah, that would be fun.
Who would you like to play you?
Who's I don't know the young I don't know the young talent
like that.
Maybe Daniel Ezra.
I can see that.
Right? I know you get the accent. Hey, that's a bad boy.
The accent.
That's a bad boy. Yeah. He's no joke. or even Michael. Yeah. I'm familiar with the work
of the
actors on my show, so
right, for sure.
I would love to see them, you know, do other stuff.
That would be dope.
Yeah.
So your credits is ridiculous. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you have, and then you do different type of like styles of characters as well. Like I think that was probably the first time I've seen you like that on Malibu's Most Wanted.
Oh,
like,
man.
That was, you know, you really had fun with that character.
Yeah. that's one thing I want to do. I'm going to lean more into is comedy.
Yeah.
That's one of the benefits of Instagram. I can just be as silly and stupid as I want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nobody can stop me. So, you know, that I can use that kind of as a rehearsal for characters and voices and kind of vibes.
Get some ideas going.
Yeah. Right. See what I think is funny. And it's just a great way to kind of express yourself. Very therapeutic.
Right.
Right.
Speaking of Instagram, though, I'm sure people will hit you up in DMs all the time. But some of the craziest messages you got.
I mean, I got... It's, you know, you can imagine.
I mean, if I get crazy messages, I'm going to
say. I'm very surprised at how forward some of these females can be, you know. It's surprising.
It's new age.
Yeah,
right?
It really is. Everything is right there if you want it. It's just a couple of... you know, push buttons away.
Right.
Ooh. Yeah, so it's been, you know, scary. It's been fun. It's been exciting.
Yeah.
All of it. But especially as a single man.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's probably, yeah, it's something else.
It's being a single, good-looking black man.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I am good-looking.
I'm very, very good-looking.
do you feel like you have... this kind of image to upkeep or to kind of show younger black men how to, like, do you think you have a lot of pressure in regards to dating and being yourself like that?
I try to ignore all of that and anything that kind of outside of what drives me, you know what I mean? Anything that could possibly sway who I am and, you know, what I want and who I want to be. I try to ignore. Do you know what I mean? I'm old enough, and I have, you know, enough of a career where, luckily, I don't have to worry about that. People know who I am. They know what I can do.
Right.
And I'm old enough where I kind of don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I feel like I've planted the seeds where I'm on a road where I don't really have to trip.
Yeah.
Other things that, you know, I'm slightly ashamed of. You know, sure.
Yeah.
Things that I wouldn't necessarily want on the front page of People magazine. But
right. That
being said, you know, I try to own up to who I am and what I've done and you know, hopefully what I'll do in the future. So I try to just be a good person and put out positive vibes and
help
folks, you know, when I can. You know, being a father, you know, is major.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, if I can kind of just stick to that, I think everything will be okay.
Right,
you know?
Right, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any personal demons or challenges that kind of, that are with you through this journey? Or are you pretty much gotten over these things?
As I said, I'm constantly, you know, learning and I can be pretty tough on myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of... struggling with looking at myself as an entire human being and not looking at demons as necessarily demons, but part of who I am. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And figuring that out. Because growing up, I grew up very religious. As I said before, my stepfather was a massive disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of taught to look at the world in black and white and good and bad. My stepdad used to say A and B. A was like God and goodness, and B was like the devil and demonic. And everything would be, you know, divided into those two letters.
Oh, wow.
So I've spent a good amount of my life trying to kind of blend the world into a gray and not judge others, mm-hmm. and more importantly, not judge myself. So,
right.
So it's a balancing act.
For
sure. You know what I mean? Yeah, especially having been married and been in a relationship, then been, you know, had a girlfriend and living with, you know, her kids and I've experienced a lot.
Right.
So I have some experience. So I'm just trying to learn and keep moving forward.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I hear you on that. That's something we all can do, right?
Yeah. I mean, try at least.
But I just want to take a moment to thank you again for being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And also thank you to Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro and AfterBuzz and Black Hollywood Live for allowing me to bring these awesome guests every week.
Yes, keep it up.
And thank
keep
you.
Keep it up, sir.
I appreciate that. And so, I want to get into the children books because you got children's books, right?
Yeah.
That you write.
Yeah.
And so how did you prompt to do that? And tell me a little about that.
I used to just randomly write when I was younger. And I went to school with my cousin and one of my best friends, Shane W. Evans. He's mm-hmm. A very highly esteemed illustrator, children's book, and he writes books himself as well. He's a writer and illustrator. So he took a poem that I wrote in college, kept it, and then after we had graduated, he was at the time illustrating for children's books. He thought that poem called Chocolate Me would make a good children's book.
Mm.
So I followed suit, and we got it published. And that was the beginning of what we like to call the Me series. Chocolate mm-hmm. Me started out, and then we did a book called Mixed Me about children that are of you know, products of mixed race marriages. Mm-hmm. The third one is called I Think I Love You More Than. That just came out, and now we're working on a fourth one about friendship. So it's been great.
Nice. So what's your objective for these books? Like, what are you hoping for the next?
Sure, just to reach out to. Let me think. Well, these books weren't around when I was younger, and it would have been great, you know, to have had them around. So, a lot of these books touch on self-esteem, self-empowerment, anti-bullying, not being afraid to express yourself when it comes to love.
Right.
This last book about friends has to deal with, you know, doing the right thing even though it might not feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things, I think, you know, we can't kind of impress enough.
Right.
Upon, you know, young people and older adults alike.
For sure.
Yeah, just all positive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, now that I have, you know, a young man that I'm raising, you know, the more positive you can put out there, the better.
Right. And I'm sure he's an inspiration for you.
100%. Every day.
You mentioned that you definitely want him to be known as, you know, as being mixed and not the black male. Why is that important for him?
Well, I just want him to be, people can say what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It can get really confusing.
Yeah.
What with, you know, identity and what you want to be called and what you are.
Definitely.
I just want him to be proud of both sides. He can call himself whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But, you know, the facts are
he
has a white mother and a black father. And I want him to, regardless of any, you know, how, you know, the outside influences and what is trendy and what other people want and other people need.
Yeah.
Regardless of that, I want him to be proud of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ends there.
Yeah. That's I like that though. Yeah. That's definitely, I mean, it's true.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that he can't be called a black man. It doesn't mean that I understand that, you know, he might get stopped by all that mess. But he is what he is, and that is what he is.
So right.
I want him to be proud of that.
That's dope. I like that. I mean, I want to ask you if was there ever a role that you were close to getting and you didn't get it?
I don't know. No? I never, you know, agencies days.
They don't want to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Let me think. I'm trying to, because sometimes they do say it's a short list. Mm-hmm. You're on a short list.
Right.
I forget. I remember there was a minute when, I wanted this so bad, when they were considering Batman, and Batman, Robin being black.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Okay. Marlon Wayans was right there. And, you know, this is just what they tell you.
Right.
But I feel like I might have been on that. That would have been great. That would have been awesome.
Wow.
I'm still waiting to be a superhero.
Yes.
I got to figure that out.
I mean, Wakanda broke barriers, but we just need to keep going, right?
Yeah, let's keep it up. I still want to do that. So we'll see. We'll see.
Right. I mean, you're all over the place. You got a lot going on, and then you're on Instagram still, you know, dominating that for us. Got some work to do, maybe. We'll talk. But have you ever had, like, what was one of your, like, craziest fan interactions, would you say?
Ooh. It's X-rated. I was at a club, and this woman was with her man.
Oh.
And she looked at me. Her man was in front of her. She looked at me, walked by, and then came back and whispered something into my ear that really took me by surprise. Something that she would do to me, she said. And then turned on her heels and went back. Ooh. Yeah, it was a trip. Yeah. And her man was right there too. It's like, ooh.
It's like, I would do
something.
Okay.
And my eyes like got big, and then I watched her walk out. Yeah, people are a trip, man.
Was that here in L.A.?
That was in New York.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I mean,
that was in New York.
Sounds very L.A.-ish.
They're all over the place.
Right.
Yeah, all over the place.
And so you'll be hosting a new show coming up as well, right?
I can't keep up. What's what?
Right. He's a game busy show? Man. Game show. Hypnotize me. Back in the room.
Yeah.
Which is... I love that. He's like, what am I doing? which was a British show.
Yes.
And it's actually a pretty fun, like, it's pretty fun. You know, you get hypnotized and you got to do all these things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? And, like, are you excited for it?
I'm very, very excited. It just, it just fell into my hands. I loved the idea of it. And I'm very much into, you know, the idea of psychics and ghosts and hypnosis, all of that stuff, paranormal activity.
Right, right.
So this was right in my wheelhouse. And I think it was the first time I've actually been a proper host, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved interacting with the audience. I loved that theatrical vibe of being kind of live on stage,
right?
Stuff happening in the moment, mm-hmm. and then you integrate, you know, hypnosis. It's a trip. If people wonder if it's real, I know it's crazy. You can see in these contestants' faces that some of this stuff that they're being told to do, they're doing it because they have no choice. It's a trip.
That's crazy.
It's a trip, yeah.
What the mind can do. That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's one of... Well, I don't know if you can talk about it, but is there, like, something that was, like, just insane, the most insane thing they told him to do?
I mean, it's all in good fun. Yeah. You know, the most extreme is, like, dumping something over your... you know, someone was told to dump, I think, spaghetti sauce over their head or something. and I could tell in his face that he didn't want to, but he did it.
Right.
Because he couldn't help himself. I could see behind the windows of his eyes. It was that was kind of sad.
It was so crazy.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry that you got to do this, brother. But, win that money, though.
Right, win that money, right? And you're a big fan of Bachelor, The Bachelor.
I was a big fan.
And what stopped you?
Too much other stuff on
TV.
Too
much, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to a point where everybody on the show knew that they were going to be on the show.
Mm, yeah.
And then you're not really getting any authentic, you know, behavior.
Right.
There are people that go on the show, they want to be the bad guys.
Right. I feel like when things like that first came out,
yeah,
like it was dope. Like,
yeah,
like, I Love New York, Flavor, like, that stuff was authentic.
Yeah, truly. The real world.
The real world.
That's brilliant. That's some really brilliant TV.
Yeah.
So now it's like a all of that, it's lost its shine for me.
I totally get that. And then so, what's one of something like a dream job or a dream? I'm sorry, project that you would love to be involved with?
Ooh, that's a good question. Right now, it's probably we're working on animating these children's books.
Oh,
so
nice.
That would be great.
If you need a voiceover artist.
Oh, no. I got you. No. I'm all about spreading
dope.
The love.
That's dope.
Wow. So that, I want to go back to stage, you know, singing, acting, and dancing.
Okay.
While I still have my knees. And producing,
yeah.
creating, and owning. I want to really get that going.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You see it's definitely a change as far as people on the screen who are of color,
right,
and behind the screen,
right,
needs a little bit more work, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
And just the as far as like the production, the studios, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We really need to push that change. Do you see, obviously, it's from when you started to now, what's some of the biggest like changes you've seen?
Oh, well, just, you know, I was able to. That's one of the another benefit of Instagram. It can keep you in touch with parts of the world. I was able to watch a couple of segments on the BET Awards and Tyler Perry, his speech.
Yeah.
You know, where he built a studio where there used to be slaves was
crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just something that seemingly simple, in the statement, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such just a positive influence and inspiration. I want to walk in those footsteps.
Right, for sure.
Do you know what I mean?
And Atlanta's dealing with the whole like heartbeat law thing.
What is that?
With
excuse
the abortion,
my ignorance.
Being illegal married. Well, what are your thoughts about that?
Ooh,
have you filmed? You filmed in Atlanta, right?
Sure.
Yeah, you filmed.
I don't know Atlanta. I don't think I have as of yet.
Okay.
That's all that's complicated.
Yeah.
It's all really complicated. I can see both sides. I do believe, you know, a woman should be in charge of her own parts.
I really do think
the government should be able to make a ruling on that. That being said, you know, in debates like this, I think it's important to see both sides and to at least understand, you know, where both sides are coming from.
Right.
I think it's a lot easier to move forward once you know there's an actual discussion as opposed to
you do this. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. All right. Well, I want to finish up with a few fun questions.
Okay.
All right.
I love a fun question.
All right. So, what's your favorite
blue
word?
No, I'm just kidding. What? Say it again.
What's your favorite word?
My favorite word, probably Walker. That's the name of my son.
Okay. All right. What's your least favorite word?
I love that kid. My least favorite word, for some reason, no just came into my head. No, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's a sound or noise that you love?
Laughter. Yeah, laughter. My kids' laughter.
Nice.
The people that I love when they laugh. Sometimes a stranger's laugh can really be annoying.
Right.
A bunch of girls. A bunch of, like, sometimes it'll be at a bunch of No offense to women.
Sometimes. It's that screeching laughter.
Cackling. Ugh.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. But my kids' laughter.
Okay. Yeah. How about a sound or noise that you hate?
Honking horns.
Oh, L.A.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Because like I attach it to what that person
right.
is feeling and the impatience and the yeah. rude. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
I need to get over that.
Right. And what gets me is like when it turns green, like within the millisecond,
dude,
I'm like, what?
Come on.
Are you serious?
that is a meditation that I need to work on, just like breathing through
right.
LA traffic and not getting out of my car and beating someone's ass. Ugh.
So true. What's your profession other than your own right now? Would you participate in
teacher?
Mm,
a teacher, okay. yeah. I enjoy teaching when I get those opportunities.
Okay,
I did a little thing at Santa Clara University. It was awesome.
Nice.
So big up, shout outs to Santa Clara. I will continue. Dope. Yeah.
And what profession would you absolutely not?
An accountant.
Mm.
Numbers, sitting behind a desk. I'm not so great with numbers. What else? Sitting down in a cubicle.
Yeah.
I have a great imagination, but it would be tough to do that 8 hours a day. Ooh, I'd have to be doing something else outside of that, like mm-hmm. jumping off, like bungee jump, something.
Right.
You know what I mean? To express myself. We're lucky, aren't we lucky?
We are.
Ooh.
We are. What's your absolute favorite movie?
Oh,
I know it's hard.
That's tough. Do the Right Thing. That is a classic.
Okay.
I just watched Love and Basketball with my kid, and that was nice. Awesome. Me being able to say, you know, I grew up with these people,
right?
And him being old enough to kind of get it, you know, basketball, acting, right. Black folk. It was cool.
Dope.
All
right, that worked.
Yeah.
And so last but not least.
Yes.
When you get to heaven.
Okay.
What would you like God to say to you?
Keep it up.
Okay.
Keep it up.
Nice.
Because I want to keep, whatever happens up there, I want to keep going.
Keep going.
I don't want to just sit back and chill. So I'll either come back with something else or help other people or.
Right.
You know, start a production company up there or something.
You know? All right. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you,
son. It was great
having
you.
This is great, man.
Thank
keep
you.
It up. You
thank
keep
you
it
so.
Up.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and,
man.
Go ahead and tell everybody where they can keep up with you, your Instagram,
Lordy.
Social media. I mean,
what is it?
Tay you got a lot going on.
Tay Diggs, Insta, and I don't know all the other stuff.
Just Google them, you'll find it.
Facebook and Twitter, all that stuff.
It's been a pleasure,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a great honor to have you on the show.
It's an honor.
You can
to be
find
here.
Me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. And come in next week, same place, same time, inside the Black Actors Studio.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
Black.
Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.